I think we're going to make a start if you want to tap the button. Okay, let's stand together before we begin, and we're just going to pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come. He's already here, but we're going to deliberately ask him to come and fill this place. Amen. So I just encourage you just to fix your eyes on Jesus right now. Whatever your day has been like, may have been a great day, may have been a terrible day in the natural. And God knows, he sees all of that. So why don't you just come before him in your own heart right now and invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to you personally, to work in you personally. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you so much that you're more willing to come and meet with us. You're more hungry for that, Lord, than we are to meet with you. Not that we're not hungry tonight, Lord, because we are. I know I am. And I know many here are as well, Lord, but you're more hungry. And Lord, thank you for your heart for us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you've not left us as orphans, that you've poured out your Spirit upon us. And Lord, I thank you for a revelation of truth tonight that is backed up by the full demonstration of your Spirit among us, for the tangible evidence of who you are among us. And I pray that our hearts would literally be warmed and impacted by who you are tonight. Lord, thank you that you come in all your fullness. Lord, I pray that you would open up the eyes of our heart tonight. Why don't you pray, ask God to do that for you, to take the scales off, to take any blindness off your heart, so that you can really hear. Lord, I want to really hear what you want to say. I want to see the truth like I've never seen it before tonight. Lord, thank you that the entrance of your word brings light. And Lord, I speak that light tonight over each one of our hearts in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Okay, you can take a seat. Welcome, and it's great to see you all here tonight. It's wonderful to have Isabel with us. You're very welcome to be with us tonight. And this is going to be an evening of release. That was a good point for an amen. This is going to be an evening of release, of the Holy Spirit being released upon us and, if you like, from within us, because we have the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. And we're going to be looking at what it really means to pray in the Spirit and to be filled with the Spirit. Hi, Hannah, come in. And tonight, we're going to really delve into the Word. We're going to delve into Scripture, because faith comes from hearing the Word of God. And we encourage you at these times, bring your Bibles. We've put some paper on the chairs so you can take notes. And again, just write down what the Spirit of God highlights to you. It's not about capturing every Scripture, because we've got the notes to give out at the end. But bring your Bibles each time that you come. And if you've got them on your phones, you can get them out, as long as you're not tempted to text or look at Facebook. Then you can use your phones or find out the football schools, as Jonathan says. So we want to give God, I'd say, let's make a choice. And it's quite a hard thing to do in this kind of 21st century living, but make a choice to be present in the moment, to be here in this place, not to be distracted by anyone else's demands or expectations, but say, no, I'm here and I want to hear from you, Father, tonight. Okay? Is that all right? Great. So if you have your Bible, we're going to start straight away getting into the Word of God. And we're going to look at what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire that is talked about in the Word. So go to Luke chapter 3. And we're going to be reading quite a bit of Scripture tonight. I've been in the Word quite a lot this week. And oh my goodness, I just get so excited when I read the Word of God. It's true that faith comes from hearing the Word, when the Holy Spirit begins to speak it to you and you get revelation. And it says in Luke chapter 3, starting at verse 15, that the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but One more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So this is John, who, bearing in mind thousands at the time were flocking to him. There was such an anointing of God on his life. And he was baptizing people in water to repent of their sins. And scripture says in other places that the baptism of John was a baptism of repentance. But he pointed to the Messiah and he said, I'm just a voice of one calling in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. And he pointed to this baptism of fire. And I just want to say, I don't know what your various doctrines or theologies are, but what we believe the Word of God teaches is that the baptism, come in Maria, you're very welcome. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an event. When you're born again, you are filled with the Spirit because you cannot come alive in the Spirit apart from the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God captivates your spirit, brings your spirit to life when you're born again. But the baptism of the Spirit and of fire that John is talking about here is different to what happens when you get born again. Now, ideally, that baptism takes place, that baptism in the Spirit takes place close to your first encounter, your first being born again, that those things happen closely together. But often, because of a lack of teaching in churches or in, you know, whatever your background is, you might not have received that baptism of the Holy Spirit and of fire. And we'll look at some more scriptures that will show us from the Word what this looks like, what it means, and why it's important. It is a one-off event in the sense that you're first baptized in the Spirit, but it is something that then, as we'll see from scripture, we need to continually be baptized in the Spirit. I want to be baptized in the Spirit again tonight. That's my faith, that I'm going to be immersed in the Spirit afresh. That's what I've been crying out to God for, calling upon him. And, you know, there's a wonderful, wonderful scripture in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, where it says, this is the confidence that we have, that God hears us, basically. That when we pray according, when we come to God asking him anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that whatever we ask, we have it. We have whatever we ask, the scripture says. So I want to encourage you to be thinking about what you want to ask God for tonight. Certainly, I'm asking, and I'm praying every one of us here is hungry to ask for a fresh baptism. If you've not experienced that, maybe for the first time, the full baptism of the Holy Spirit and of fire, okay? That word fire, when it says here in Luke, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and in fire, the Holy Spirit means the blast or the breath of God. That's what the Greek word means. To be baptized with the blast of God, the breath of God. And with fire, that's like being struck with lightning. That's what it means in the Greek. It's like lightning, if you go to the root word. It's not just a little touch. It's like the fire, the lightning, the power, the full presence of who God is, impacting and filling us. Amen. Amen. So let's turn over to Luke chapter 11. From chapter 3, let's go over to chapter 11. And we're just reading these scriptures because they inspire our faith about what the Word of God says. Luke chapter 11. Let's read from verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Come in, you're very welcome. Please take a seat. There's a couple of seats there. We're just reading from Luke chapter 11 and we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just looking at some scriptures to inspire our faith before we pray. So I'll start again at verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone, just say everyone. Everyone. Do you think everyone includes you?
Yes.
I think it includes everyone. I think that's what God meant when he said everyone. He meant everyone, okay? Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen. So this is a gift from our Father. It's not something we can earn. It's not something we can kind of knock up brownie points to say, right, I'm now spiritually good enough. It's a gift. Just as you as a parent, or as your parent gives you a gift as their child, that's the same with God. He wants to give the Holy Spirit, the most precious thing that he can give us, his very own Holy Spirit, as a gift from our Heavenly Father. Okay, let's look at John chapter 16 and see what Jesus said about this Holy Spirit, this gift. And I'm skimming the surface tonight. I encourage you with the notes afterwards, where we've got all the references, to this week get into the Word yourself. Let the Holy Spirit show you more from these scriptures, because I'm just giving you, we're skimming the surface tonight in this time. John chapter 16, and let's read from verse 5. Now I'm going to him who sent me. Hello, Susie, come in. There's a seat here. There we are. Very welcome. Now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He speaks only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And there's a lot more that Jesus says about the Holy Spirit in that passage. But essentially, I want us to get a hold of the fact that Jesus has not left us as orphans. It's not he didn't abandon his disciples. He said, it's better that I go. I think we think sometimes if Jesus physically walked in the room, life would be better for us. And actually, Jesus showed his apostles that there was a better way than them physically having him. Because physically having him was not the same as having the Holy Spirit on the inside, which is what Jesus experienced in his humanity. He was filled with the Spirit from birth. In fact, he was born of the Spirit, wasn't he? He was conceived of the Spirit. So he knew that it was better for us as his disciples to have him, the Spirit of truth, and of course Jesus is the truth, so it's the Spirit of Christ. It's better for us to be filled with the Spirit of Christ than actually to have Jesus in his physical person with us. That's quite a revelation. Because we kind of in our minds think, well, if I was alive when Jesus was alive physically and I saw him doing things, then I believe more. And I'm not sure that that's true, because Jesus said it's better for you that I'm in you. So basically, you'll never be alone. There will never be a situation that you'll go into where you won't have all the resources of the Spirit, all the resources of truth, all the resources of heaven at your disposal. If we just had him here physically, we wouldn't be with him all the time. Because he's poured out his Spirit, the Counselor. And there's a lot in that passage that says what the role of the Counselor is. I'm getting myself tied up here. Okay, I'm going quite quickly because there's a lot of scripture I want to get through so that we can then come to the time when God's going to move and we can pray, okay, which is really what God wants to do tonight. But this is important that we exercise our faith and we agree with what we're hearing tonight. Because as faith rises, God's going to respond. Amen? And you, I'm giving you permission to be verbal tonight as well, okay? If you hear something good, you can say amen. Amen. Okay. So let's turn to Acts, the book of Acts, over to have a look at what Jesus said. So we've heard what John has said about this baptism of the Spirit. We've heard what Jesus himself has said about the Spirit of truth. Now look at the beginning of Acts in chapter 1, what Jesus said to the disciples before he was taken up. And it says in verse 3, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and he spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We know that's fire. Now, what does it mean to be baptized? Well, I've got a definition here from the Greek. So this is not like an English dictionary definition. This is what the Greek word for baptism means and signifies. And baptism, of course, in Israeli culture, Jewish culture, was a part of daily ritual for them. That they would regularly go through the bar mitzvah baths of baptism. And it means to dip repeatedly, to immerse, to be submerged, to be sunken, to be cleansed by dipping or submerging, to wash oneself, to be overwhelmed. Now, within that, there's a lot. But the overall sense is that this is going to be all-consuming. God wants this to be all-consuming, which is why we believe in total physical immersion in water when we baptize people as, you know, young believers, that they are physically immersed, because that's what baptism actually means. It means to be immersed. And God wants to immerse us in himself, in his Spirit. But caught up in that meaning, which would have been familiar to the people at that time Jesus was speaking to, it was something that you did yourself as well, in the sense that you hungered after it. You immersed yourself, you had to desire that. So, and this is our part where we connect with God, because God will never override our will. Sometimes when it comes to supernatural things or the things of the Spirit, we often think that God's going to suddenly come on us in such a way that he takes over and we are completely out of control. And there are instances where that can happen biblically, and maybe you have experienced some times where the Spirit of God has literally taken a hold of you, and maybe you've just fell flat on your face, or you've just been caught up in the presence of God and felt immobilized. But generally speaking, God cooperates with our will. Okay, this is really important when we come to look at praying in the Spirit and the gift of tongues, which we're going to look at in a moment, and what it means to pray in tongues and why we pray in tongues. And again, there's a wrong teaching or understanding, if you like, that suddenly you're just going to speak in tongues in such a way that it's got nothing to do with you. Your will is always involved. Our will is always involved. And even if that's just saying yes to God, giving God permission to come and supernaturally work in our lives. So does that make sense? You got a hold of that. We're expecting things that are beyond the natural, but we have to give God permission. He's not going to do that outside of our will, okay? And our bit is to, in our hearts, desire, crave, be fervent in those things. That word about asking where Jesus is talking about asking. There's a fervency in that. It's not just, that would be nice. I think I'd like that. There's a craving. There's a fervency. There's a pursuing. That's how Jesus was, actually, when he prayed. Have you ever thought about, you know, when Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and how he prayed? It says he literally sweated drops of blood. Have you ever thought about that? And I know there's times in the past where I have prayed, and it says he fell to the floor when he prayed. He fell on his knees. He was beseeching God, and he was overwhelmed with sorrow and grief in that moment because he knew what lay ahead of him. And his flesh was in torment. But he prayed with such fervency that he literally sweated blood. And I know one time we went through a season in Kingdom Faith where we were just interceding on behalf of the nation for weeks and weeks and weeks, and there was just a real anointing from God to do that. But as we gave ourselves to it, I remember one time I prayed so fervently, when I stood up, all the blood vessels above my eyes had burst. And there wasn't blood coming out, but I was marked. And it went within about 24 hours. But I was shocked, because I'd just been praying fervently. And I realized, gosh, when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, when it says that, there was his heart was so engaged fervently, and that actually was something that Jesus did when he prayed in his humanity. Now, if Jesus prayed like that to the Father, I'm not saying we should pray so that our blood vessels burst. But what I am saying is, let's engage all of our hearts. Let's be 100%. Amen? Because God cannot resist that kind of faith. He cannot resist it. The Spirit of God, I believe, is brooding over London tonight, looking for such a faith to move. Amen? Okay, so who is this Holy Spirit, this Comforter? Well, he is the Comforter. He's the Counselor. He's the one, scripturally, it says, to be a Counselor is to plead another's cause. He's our intercessor before the Father. It's the Spirit of Christ who's doing, that's what he's doing in us as we pray in the Spirit. So what does it mean to pray in the Spirit, which is the heart of what we're going to look at? And often when people think of praying in the Spirit, they think of praying in tongues. And over the last few months, we've talked to various ones of you, and it's clear that many of you speak in tongues. A few of you don't and would like to. And some of you have never really thought about that and thought, well, do I really need that? Is that really important? And so we're going to spend a bit of time just looking at the gift of tongues. But what I want to emphasize, and we're going to look at tongues particularly because we're talking about praying in the Spirit. And I believe that without praying in tongues, we miss a whole power base, if you like, that we can grab a hold of. Good evening. There's a seat over there. Look, there's a whole power base in God that we can release through praying in tongues and the gift of tongues that we can't access when we don't pray in tongues, when we just pray out of our understanding and of our own minds. And that's why God has given it to us. And as I say, I'm going to show you from the Word now why that's important. But I also want to just quickly emphasize that tongues is only one of the evidences of being filled with the Spirit. So to say to someone you're not filled with the Spirit just because you don't speak in tongues is not scripturally true. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Many people, when they get filled with the Spirit, have an overwhelming burst of joy. I remember one guy talking about, recently I heard his testimony, he said he was a real Essex boy, and he said, I came out of the prayer meeting, he said, and there was this bush that he'd always been there, but this bush, I saw the leaves on this bush, and they looked so green. It's like everything came alive to him. And that's what the Spirit of God does. The gift of tongues is one of the gifts. But there's many other gifts, gifts of wisdom, gifts of knowledge, gifts of miracles, gifts of hospitality, gifts of prophecy. We should go for all of these gifts. But in prayer, we need the gift of tongues. Okay, so that's what we're going to focus on tonight. Okay, so let's read in Acts chapter 2 what actually happened. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and all the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts of Judaism." That's a lot of languages. "Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues or our own languages." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. Now, Peter stood up and knocked that one on the head. Said, "Come on, boys, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. We're not drunk in the natural. We're filled with the Spirit. This is the promise of God." And there's a couple of things before we get into tongues that I want to point out here. They were all in one place. They were all there in one time. And a sound like wind came. And it's not clear from that scripture whether the crowd drew because they heard that sound or because they heard the sound of the believers praying in the Spirit, praying in all these other languages. Suddenly, they could all speak these different languages, declaring the wonders of God. I suspect that it was that, because they were so filled with the Spirit, they spilled out into the streets to declare the wonders of God, didn't they? And they were all in one place, in one accord, it says in Scripture, when the Spirit fell in that way. Now, I long for that for us. That's what we're believing for as a church in Kingdom Faith London, that we will be a community of faith where we're in such one accord that the Spirit of God can fall in that way. But that doesn't happen by chance. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens by intention. They had been in that upper room together for we don't know how long, but I think scholars say it was about 40 days? 10 days? 10 days. Sorry, Jonathan's correcting me on that. 10 days. So they had been there night and day, as far as we can see. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they spilled out. And actually, the Lord really spoke to me when I read this earlier, that it was the day of Pentecost. It was an assigned, appointed day. And I believe there are appointed days for all of us in our walk with God. Actually, today is an appointed day for some of you, maybe for the first time, to really get filled with the Spirit. Maybe for some of you, for the first time, to speak in tongues. Maybe for some of you to hear something that you've never heard about your purpose and vision and life in God. And so the appointment